The arts and culture industry in New York was dealt a significant blow by the arrival of COVID-19, and while many aspects of normal life have returned, albeit with a mask or proof of vaccination, this sector of life is going to take a long time to fully recover, if it ever does. To aid in that recovery, the state announced plans in December to distribute $45 million to nonprofit arts and culture organizations in New York, with $20 million for capital projects likely to be allocated in 2022. To discuss the state government's continued investment in the arts and culture, we're joined by Mara Manis, Executive Director of the New York State Council on the Arts, which has been promoting the arts in New York for more than six decades and oversaw this most recent grant process. Welcome to the show, Mara.
Thank you so much for having me, Dave.
So the state's Council on the Arts has been approving waves of funding for the arts throughout 2021, and December's $45 million represents the third round of grants. And I think we should talk about the whole picture in a second. But first, can you explain the focus of this latest allocation of funding?
Our round three funding was really an opportunity for NISCA, which is our abbreviation, to reset the table in terms of creating access, which was our overall goal for all of the rounds that we were able to offer this year. In creating access, we really rethought our grant-making process in full suit, if you will, and were able to offer non-siloed funding. So we said it doesn't matter what you are, what kind of organization you are, what kind of artist you are, what kind of work you produce, whether you produce interdisciplinary work or you are a museum or you're a theater, we want to make sure that you have access to our dollars. So the opportunities were created in really broad buckets, if you will, support for artists, support for organizations. And within those buckets, we offer very flexible funding. So you can use the dollars in any way you see fit.
And should we consider this funding, whether it's round three or the overall total money, which exceeds $100 million, as a lifeline to help organizations and artists just survive the pandemic? Or is the hope that this is about building for the future as well?
So if you think about the $105 million, which is the commitment to the arts this year, I think what it does is two things. It recognizes the vastness of the crisis that is still at hand. And it also provides an opportunity for all of the through all the dollars that we are now offering to rebuild programming, to rebuild audiences, to rebuild staff, the way that all these organizations, many of which have just been open within the last reopened within the last 6 months, see fit. So we're very excited about the opportunity to offer flexible funding to bring new organizations into our fold. We had a 40% increase in applications this year. We are providing funding to hundreds of new organizations and artists, and we believe that this is critical for not just the sector's recovery, but our state's recovery as well.
Well, given the increase in applications, even with the funding level of more than $100 million, does demand or has demand exceeded the available dollars?
We run a competitive process, and there were definitely some organizations and artists that weren't funded. However, we funded deeper into our ratings than we ever have in the past. We provided many more dollars to organizations than they have normally received. Many of the organizations that do get NISCA funding are small organizations. About 60% of our organizations have budgets of less than $1 million. So, so significant amounts of funding this year provides a chance for, I think, relief and rebuilding as we move through what is still very fluid times in our sector.
Well, given the competition for dollars, can you talk a little bit about how the round three winners were selected and maybe highlight a program that really seemed to embody what the state was looking to invest in?
Most of our funding is awarded through a peer review process. So that's an evaluation process. Our staff runs a part of the review, but ultimately we take all of our applications to peer experts in their field, and it is a competitive process. In past years, I think we've funded only perhaps 50% of what has come before us, and this year we were able to provide funding to a much greater percent of the applications, and that was purposeful. Obviously, this allocation, this appropriation allowed us to do that, but also at a time of the greatest need for our field, we were heartened to be able to provide that.
And are there any artists or groups or organizations or activities that you want to highlight?
Sure. I mean, so this year, round three, but round one, two, three, and four, we provided all different kinds of funding opportunities for a wide range of artists and organizations. And I will share that about half of our funding in general, in any given year, we make direct grants, and about half are done through We Grant partners. And these We Grant partners could be our state We Grant sites, which are all across the state, or they could be more discipline-focused, such as Art New York, which is focused on theaters. And Art New York, for instance, this year, they've been getting about $100,000 from us. And this year, we increased their re-grant opportunity to $1.2 million to meet the needs, the outsized needs of theaters in the wake of COVID. While they have many member organizations and theaters, very, very, very small nonprofits in New York City, they also have and are expanding their membership across the state. And we saw this as a critical opportunity to be able to provide these kind of resources to very small theaters with whom we are not directly in contact.
In case you're just joining us, you're listening to the Capitol Press Room, and we're talking with Mara Manis, Executive Director of the New York State Council on the Arts, which is overseeing the distribution of tens of millions of dollars to arts and culture organizations throughout the state. So when we think about the state getting into the investment of artists and venues and institutions, why does that represent a good use of government resources? Why should we be investing, you know, record levels of funding right now?
You know, if you think back to the beginning of this country, and art used to be, I think, an emblem of wealth, right? It was the industrialists who built, you know, beautiful art concert halls and who patronized concert halls. But in fact, what we know right now is that the role of the arts in our state and our country is so much more vast than what it was once perhaps conceived for, or who was perhaps conceived for. Mm-hmm. And now what we know is that where there's arts, there's health. Creative economy in New York State is enormous. It represents $123 billion and constitutes 7% of our state's economy and comprises over 500,000 workers. And that is more than retail or transportation, which is an astonishing number. What we know is arts create empathy, that arts create trust, that arts create community. And in fact, many of the small organizations that we fund, they are really the centerpieces and the tent poles of their communities. And what we know now also, and this is also, is that arts create individual help. So where you see hands-on arts engagement, and actually we're starting a project now, we've just started a project with the New York State Department of Aging. We're building on the momentum, the creative aging momentum that's now taking off across the country. And that is that hands-on arts engagement leads to better cognitive functioning, reduces social isolation, and really reduces dependence on doctor visits and medicine. So if you can imagine bringing arts, which right now we're providing hands-on arts engagement through this pilot program in a number of senior centers, both virtually and in person. But if you can imagine taking hands-on arts engagement out to the 700 senior centers across the state and thinking about the health of older adults and how that could have a more meaningful impact, it's really quite astonishing. And we know that arts education, which is an area we fund in, creates better learners, better performers in school. So there's just so much that arts achieve. We now have the data, and that's very exciting.
Well, considering then the bang for the buck that we can get with state investments in the arts and culture, should we anticipate similar levels of funding in the next budget, which is due at the end of March, or is this going to be a one-off experience?
What we know is that Governor Hochul understands, and I can say this definitively, that she understands because I've been with her in her role as lieutenant governor at a number of arts venues, that she understands the impact of the arts in our state and the role that it plays and will play in the recovery of our state's economy. So obviously, it's our hope that our funding will stay at an elevated level. I don't have my crystal ball with me. And as you know, the budget process starts in a couple of weeks after she announces her budget, I think by January 18th. So we'll have to wait and see.
Well, finally, and with the caveat that you don't have a crystal ball, how long do you think?
Not today.
Yeah, I mean, how long, maybe when you do the next prediction of like Wizard of Oz or something, how long do you think the recovery for the arts and culture sector in New York will take? Is this something that needs just hard, concentrated effort for 2 or 3 years? Or is this something where we really need to be thinking in, you know, 10 years, 15 years? What sort of timeline are you thinking about?
We're definitely thinking that in the near term, it's a multi-year undertaking, that this is not going to turn around anytime quickly. Mm-hmm. And I would say the other really important point here that we're hearing from all of our grantees is that for those who have been reopened or are opening right now, what they're facing is the fact that they have fixed expenses, they have new expenses due to the, you know, the COVID protocols, and they have a very unpredictable audience future. So some like larger museums whose attendance is very much driven by tourists, we don't know where that's going and how that's going to swing this year. Certainly live performance in a theater, I mean, we're seeing that unfold as we speak. Shows are being canceled, actors are getting COVID, whole crews are going out. So I think we won't really have a sense of how long this will take until probably we play out this year and see where we land. But we are all quite aware, and I know that the legislature is as well, and the governor and her staff is as well, with the fact that this is an incredibly fluid time and situation for the creative sector, and that we're going to be at the ready and learning as we move through what is clearly a critical year ahead.
Well, we've been speaking with Mara Manis. She is the executive director of the New York State Council on the Arts. Mara, thank you so much for making the time. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Dave.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by New York State United Teachers, a union of professionals in education, human services, and healthcare.